Let's share a word of prayer together as we get into God's word tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving us the gift of life, strength, health. Thank you, God, for meeting all our needs and providing for us. What a blessing, Father, that we can come again together tonight around your word to learn at the feet of the Holy Spirit. We come with expectant hearts, hearts that are open, that are fully committed to you, that are yielded, and that are humble. And we ask for and we receive grace tonight to be able to press in, to learn, to know, and Father God, to experience. Welcome, precious Holy Spirit. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that is joining us online tonight, their loved ones, and those that would listen to this teaching afterwards. Father, I pray the blessings of heaven upon them. Open over us your heavens and rain down upon us tonight. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen and amen. And welcome and welcome again. Thank you for joining us. And whatever platform you are joining us on, thank you and God bless you. I want us to dive right into the Word of God. We have been studying for a few weeks what we titled Knowing God More, Dwelling in the Secret Place. Knowing God More, Dwelling in the Secret Place. And boy, has this been an amazing experience, and we're only just scratching the surface. We have only just gotten started. I'm super excited, you can tell. This is our year of divine everything, and we know that the Lord is manifesting in our lives. He's showing up and showing out as he promised. But there is something really fundamental to our Christian experience, that is knowing God more. And unfortunately, that is something that a lot of believers all over the world just don't know how to do. But praise God, he has given us the opportunity, and he's made his word available to us, his precious word. And the Holy Spirit, our teacher, is always ready to teach us. So let's get into it tonight. Two of our opening scriptures, our theme scriptures that we'll be running with. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, in the New Living Translation, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. We have all this, we have received all this by coming to know him, knowing God. The Message translation of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 reads, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. By getting to know personally and intimately. Listen to that. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God and a life of success comes by getting to know, by us getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. Glory be to God. And last week and for the weeks leading up to that, we've also read Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. I'm going to read that again from the Amplified Version. He says, yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. People say, oh, you can't understand God. Like I always say, not if he's the one explaining himself. not if he's the one teaching us and instructing us, we can't understand God. Now, we can't understand everything about God. We can't. Not in this physical being, not in this earthly experience that we're having. Because everything, our minds are too finite, our spirits are too underdeveloped. We can't understand everything about God while we are on this earth. But we can understand Him more. We can know Him more each day, each month, each year as we walk with Him. He certainly wants to reveal Himself more and more to us. Amen. And that's why He says, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand Him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, cherish Him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn. And He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. Hallelujah. Our job is to be zealous, is to follow on, to seek to know Him. And last week, praise God, we read the story of Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19. What a blessed story the story of Zacchaeus was. Just how refreshing it was just reading about this man and all the things that we learned from that story. Praise God, the Holy Spirit really, He gave us a kick out of that service last week. Amen. But we did learn two major things last week that are key requirements in knowing God more. We know that we have already learned and we have already outlined, and I hope you have those in your notes, the four major ways through which we can know God more. And tonight we're diving into them. I mean, really diving into them. I know you may say, oh, you said that the last 2 weeks and we just haven't gotten there. I believe we're getting into at least the first one, possibly even the second one, this week and next week. So I'm really excited for us to do that. But what are these four major ways, if you've been taking notes, what are the four major ways through which we can know God more? Number one, we can know God more through habitual fellowship, through habitually fellowshipping with Him. We're going to get into that tonight. Number two, we can know God more through desire and zeal, through desire and zeal. Number three, we can know God more through revelation and experience, through revelation and experience. And finally, number four, we can know God more through sharing in His nature and in His purpose. We can know God more through sharing in His nature and in His purpose. And it's all so good. And we're gonna see as we get into each of them, we're gonna delve into it and learn all that the Lord has for us within the next few weeks. I know the Lord is gonna help us. And I'm very excited. I hope you are as well. Amen. But there are two key requirements if we're really serious about knowing God more, if we're really determined to know God more, if it's not just because we want to say the right things, if we really mean it in our heart. There are a lot of believers who really would say that, but don't know how to. And we're going to learn how to tonight. There are other believers who say it, but are not really willing to pay the price. They are not willing to make the exchange. You remember in Isaiah 55, let's read that real quickly. I won't preach from there. I won't teach from there much. But read Isaiah 55, we're familiar with this scripture. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. We don't need money for this. We don't need money to know God more. Hallelujah. You can have all the money in the world, good. And you may have none of it, good. We don't need money to know God more. He says, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And then in verse 6, he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And he's near now. He himself is the one inviting us. He is near. So there are two key requirements that we must have. And we saw both of these in Zacchaeus, and we mentioned Abraham last week as well. These two key requirements, number one, a yearning heart that is fully committed to God. A yearning heart that is fully committed to God. If we're going to know God more, we've got to have that. We've got to have a yearning heart, and we've got to be fully committed to God. Number two key requirement is humility, making ourselves insignificant before God and laying aside the significant things of our lives, like Abraham and Zacchaeus did. Remember, the Bible tells us Zacchaeus was a rich man, but he put aside all that wealth. He put aside pride. He got on a tree. He wanted to see Jesus. He made himself insignificant. How about Abraham? God said to Abraham, give me your son, your only son. God asked for the most significant thing in Abraham's life. And Abraham had to lay that aside to go to a higher level in his experience and relationship with God. And I know why we were ministering last week. The Lord put a word in my spirit, and that's just exploded. I wish I had written it down. I haven't written it down, but I still have it. And he said, the greatest limitation in the lives of many believers in their quest to know God more are the significant things of their lives. The greatest limitation a lot of believers have in their quest for knowing God more are the significant things in their lives. And we learned, and I'm not going to go there, so we can move on quickly tonight. But we learned it is important, like Abraham did, that we're willing to put aside the significant things in our lives. They could be people, they could be things, possessions, dreams, aspirations, whatever they are. Whatever you consider, you know in your heart, some of the most significant things that are precious to you. Well, those are things we've got to lay aside so they don't compete with the place that God needs to have in our lives. So they don't compete with the yearning that we need to have to know God more. Those are the two key requirements for knowing God more. Number one, a yearning heart that is fully committed to God. Number two, humility, making ourselves insignificant. Matter of fact, we saw that in James chapter 4 from verse 6 to 10 last week. It says, we must humble ourselves so that God himself can grant us grace and lift us up. When we humble ourselves, God will draw us closer to him, closer to himself. Amen. So humility, making ourselves insignificant before God and laying aside the significant things of our lives, like Abraham and Zacchaeus did. I don't know what your own significant things or significant people are. Maybe it's a child, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a connection, a partner, a business connection, whatever it is. Or maybe it's a possession, a thing, something you own. Or maybe it's an aspiration, a dream. Maybe it's a desire for something, whatever it is. We've got to be willing to to lay aside the significant things of our lives so that we can press forward and enter into a greater realm of God's knowledge in our lives. I want us to get into these four major ways in which we get to know God more. Let's read some scriptures here. The very first one that we have identified, the four major ways in which we can know God more, are number one, cultivating habitual fellowship with God. Cultivating habitual fellowship with God. We've read over and over Psalms 91. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but again, I'm going to read the first two verses and then probably verse 14. He says here, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The word dwelleth or dwell is the Hebrew word yashab. Yashab. And that word means to take up residence, to be in a place regularly, not to be there once in a while. So one of the ways, and it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." One of the ways we get to know God more is through developing habitual fellowship. Habitual fellowship means we come regularly into His presence. It means we're constantly aware of His presence around us. We're constantly fellowshipping with Him, constantly relating with Him. You know, in verse 14 of Psalm 91, He said, "Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." The word known or know is the Hebrew word yada. And that means to have an intimate relationship with another person or to know someone relationally and experientially. And the way we cultivate habitual fellowship with God is we walk closely with Him every day. We don't pick seasons when, oh, it's important for us to be close to God. We don't pick days of the week like, oh, Sunday I've got to be close to God. No. Habitually, daily, whether we're going about our natural life, secular businesses, assignments, or we're doing something spiritual, constantly being aware of His presence and fellowshipping with Him, relating with Him. So, of course, relating with God involves talking to Him, yes, praising Him, thanking Him, ministering to Him, loving Him, and things like that. Appreciating Him. Fellowshipping with Him. The more we walk with Him in habitual fellowship, the more He reveals Himself to us. The more He opens our eyes to know Him more. The more we seek to engage with Him regularly, habitually, the more we get accustomed to Him. We get used to Him. If we're strangers who just stop by or drive through or once in a while, every once in a while, yeah, we remember we come there, we acknowledge Him, we won't get used to Him. We won't get to know Him. It's like if there's someone you want to be friendly with, Bible says either whoever wants to have friends must show themselves friendly. So Someone is not going to be our friends if we constantly ignore them. And every once in a while, when we need something, we talk to them. Or if we use them to get certain things we desire. But at other times, they don't really count. No, habitual fellowship with God means that we're regularly, habitually, just sharing with him. Can somebody say amen? Let's read this scripture about Enoch. We've referred to it over and over again over the last several weeks. But let's actually go and read it in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified, just to save time. We don't have a lot of time here. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Let's read from verse 22. Actually, let's read from verse 21. He says, when Enoch was 65 years old, Methuselah was born, that's his son. Verse 22. Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God after the birth of Methuselah 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. He walked in habitual fellowship with God. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Then he repeats that again in verse 24. And he said, and Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God. And he was not, for God took him home with him. He walked so closely with God, lived a full life, and never knew death. He never knew death. He walked in habitual fellowship with God. That is, every day, God was a constant presence in Enoch's life. Every day, he took time to worship God. Every day, he took time to walk with God and converse with God. He'll ask God's opinion about certain things he was thinking about. He will offer to do things for God. He served God. He sought to listen to God. Talk to me, God. He heard God. He heard from God. He partnered with God in the things God was seeking to do. Regularly. He was not a Sunday. A Christian who only got intense and got really fired up about the things of God just before service on Sunday morning. No, he walked habitually. Say that word with me. Habitually. Yes, habitually. He walked habitually. He fellowship. What does fellowship mean? The word fellowship is koinonia. It means to share together. We talk together. We sing together. We play together. We read together. We do things together. That's koinonia. That's fellowship. That is, we are fellows in the same ship. Enoch was not in one ship and God in another ship. No. They were fellows together. We in the same ship. They always did things together. Well, that is one of the ways in which we know God more. It's a supernatural experience when we do that. When we're conscious of his presence and we esteem his presence above everything else. We love it. Like that psalmist said, you know, one day in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. One day in your presence. 1 minute in your presence is better than 24 hours elsewhere. So that is, I love your presence. I crave your presence. Amen. Let's go read Psalm 84. The 84th Psalm. Hallelujah. Habitual fellowship. Knowing God more through cultivating habitual fellowship. And not only when we feel like it, not only when it is convenient, but even when we don't feel like it, even when it's not convenient, even when there are so many other things calling for our attention, we just commit to walking in habitual fellowship with God. Let's read the 84th Psalm. He said from verse 1, how amiable, that is how lovely, how desirable are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. This psalmist here really loves the presence of God. How lovely, how desirable is your presence. It's your tabernacle. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Woo-hoo! My soul longs, even faints. My soul faints. Hallelujah. Faints for the courts of the Lord. That is, to be close to Him. To be close to, my heart yearns to be close to Him. See, this is cultivating habitual fellowship. To create a yearning, a longing for Him. It says, my flesh, my heart cries out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will be still praising you. Like a sparrow finds a house, like a swallow a nest for herself, where she can do her most sacred things, her most sacred assignments, duties, where she can have her young. That's what your presence is like to me. Your presence is like my dwelling place. It's like my home. Like the places I treasure. Where do you treasure in your home the most? Maybe your bedroom. Maybe if you have a den. Maybe a place where you keep some of your most precious things, where once in a while you just like to sit around there and spend time and enjoy that. That's precious to you. Well, when the presence of God is precious to us like that, we cultivate habitual fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. He said, blessed are they that dwell in your house, they will be still praising you. That's part of our habitual fellowship with Him. To be praising Him. To be praising. He says, look at it. The Amplified, it says in verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house and your presence. They will be singing your praises all the day long. They will be singing your praises all the day long. Notice, not singing your praises one day of the week, not singing your praises once in a while. No, they'll be singing your praises all the day long. As His presence surrounds them continuously. He said in verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appearing before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. Verse 10, I really love this one. For one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God, verse 11, is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in you. Hallelujah. Look at it. One day in your court is better than 1,000 anywhere else, the Amplified Bible says. I would rather be a doorkeeper and stand at the threshold in the house of my God than to dwell at ease in the tents of wickedness. His house, his presence is so precious, is priceless, is invaluable. That's what the psalmist is saying. When we esteem the presence of God like that, not just the corporate presence of God. The corporate presence of God is awesome when we come together with other believers and we enjoy the presence of God in singing and worshiping and praying and praising and all of that. That's awesome. And in getting around His word like we're doing tonight, that is awesome. But even more awesome is when we esteem His presence in our own individual lives, just by ourselves. When we carry His presence like you carry the ark, when we treasure His presence like it is the most precious thing to us, we cultivate habitual fellowship with Him. Look at Psalm 63. This is a Psalm of David. We know this Psalm, Psalm 63. David said, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. As similar to what we read in Psalm 84. He says, they just long for the presence of God. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. Thus will I bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. Hallelujah. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. You see, you're beginning to see some of the things that constitute this habitual fellowship. When God is constantly in our memory, in our minds, when we meditate on Him, we sing our praise to Him, we thank Him, we appreciate Him, we love on Him. He said, when I remember Thee upon my bed, I meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice, rejoicing in God. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard after Thee. Your right hand upholds me. My soul follows hard. The Amplified says, my whole being follows hard after You and clings closely to You. This is habitual fellowship. My whole being follows hard after You. I'm coming after You, Lord. I'm coming closely after You. You turn to the right, I'm right there. You turn to the left, I'll be right there. You're going forward, I'm right behind You. I'm following hard after You. If You stop abruptly, I'm going to be right there because I'm following hard after You. You speak in a whisper, I'm going to hear it because I'm following hard after You. That's habitual fellowship. It's being in His presence and ministering to Him. Ministering to Him. Rejoicing in Him. Blessing His name. Glorying in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Extolling His presence. Daily, regularly, it's habitual fellowship. Someone said, but I can't, am I supposed to sing all day long? It's not just about singing. It's a connection of our heart to His heart. It's a desire deep within us where we long for His presence and we cherish His presence. We're driving in our car, we're talking to Him. Not just about problems, not just about issues, but we're appreciating Him. We're loving on Him. We're counting our blessings and thanking Him for everything He's doing in our lives. We're in the kitchen cooking the same thing. We're rejoicing over him. Hallelujah. We're going to a board meeting or going to an assignment at work, and right underneath our breath, we're loving on him. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for preserving my life. Thank you in just giving him thanksgiving, just giving, ministering to the Lord. Psalm 42, look at Psalm 42. Look at a couple of verses there. As the deer pants, this is what the psalmist said here. As the deer pants for the water brooks. You know that song? As the deer pants, as the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after. As the deer, as the hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul thirsts for him. When shall I come and appear before God? Verse 7. Deep, he says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy water spout. All thy waves and all thy billows are gone over me. The presence of God. Verse 8. Yet the Lord will commend his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Hallelujah. It's habitual fellowship. Habitual fellowship. And that involves what he does, that, but mostly what we do in honoring him, in hallowing his name, in appreciating him, and on like that. Ministering to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord. I want us to go and read how Abraham ministered to the Lord. How Abraham ministered to the Lord. Amen. How he gave him attention, how he put everything aside, and he stood at attention and waited on him, waited on the Lord. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 18. 18, yes. Genesis chapter 18. This is, we're talking about habitual faith, because what we're yearning and what we're seeking to do is to be attractive to God. To be attractive to God. We want to draw his presence. We want to draw his loving kindness towards us. Because when we draw his presence, he reveals himself to us. We know him more when we are around him more. Amen. Genesis 18. How Abraham ministered to the Lord. No wonder the Bible calls him the friend of God. He knew God. He knew him. Let's read Genesis 18 from verse 1. The Lord appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself towards the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Look at that. He ran to him. My Lord, if I found favor on your side, don't pass by me. I pray you stay here. Let me get some water. Let me wash your feet. Rest right here. Abide right here under the tree. Come, feel at home. See, this is habitual fellowship with God, folks. He says, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your heart, and after that you can pass on. For therefore you are come to your servant. And they said, okay. They said, these were angels representing the Lord. Abraham recognized them and he entertained them because he had a yearning for God. He sought habitual fellowship with God. And because of God, that God revealed his secrets to him. And Abraham hastened in verse 6. Abraham hastened into the tent, and unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. It's not a time for long stories. Let's put our best forward. We're entertaining the Lord here. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, he set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And while they were eating, he didn't go out, and you know, he just stood right there, was waiting. This is what is called waiting on the Lord. Many times, we use that expression, waiting on the Lord, but we really don't realize exactly what it means. It means doing what a waiter does. What does a waiter do in a restaurant? A waiter comes and welcomes us and thanks us for coming and asks us what do we want to drink and what do we want to eat and take order for our appetizer, our main course, and keeps coming back to ask us if we're happy, if we're good, everything's okay. So waiting on us, waiting on us. They take on the responsibility of serving us while we're there. Well, that's what it means to minister to the Lord. That's what Abraham did. That's how to cultivate habitual fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Amen. And because he did that, God spoke to him, revealed a secret to him. Habitual fellowship. You know, this is talking about feeding the angels and all of that. And we know that in that time, because the people who were representing God, who were visiting on God's behalf, were like human beings. That's who Abraham, was really relating with here. Then it made a lot of sense for him to have done the things that he did. But you know, for you and I, God doesn't eat our food. Doesn't eat our whatever, mac and cheese and mashed potatoes and collard greens. God doesn't eat all that stuff. What does God eat? His spirit. The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus said in John, the Gospel of John chapter 4. So, in our case, how do we do the kind of thing that Abraham did? How do we minister to the Lord? Listen to Psalm 50. Let's read Psalm 50, and let's read it from verse 10. Psalm 50 from verse 10. It says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" Look at verse 14 and 15. "Offer unto God thanksgiving." Ah! So that's spirit food. That's God food. Thanksgiving. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Prepare it as a meal, like Abraham prepared his meal. Offer. We talked a bit about this in 2021 when we were studying the PowerPoint of prayer, and we studied the PowerPoint of thanksgiving. This may be a good time to revise that if you have your notes from there. Amen. Make it intentional. Make it continuous. Make it progressive. Hallelujah. Prepare it as a meal. Like a meal. Take the time. That's how we minister to him. That's how we cultivate habitual fellowship with him. When we offer unto God thanksgiving, he stays around. He dwells around. Like he sat under the tree in Abraham's house. He sits in our home. Amen. When we live lives of complaining and murmuring and always never being satisfied, always picking faults and picking fights, and we drive away the presence of God. There are a lot of believers who live like that. They say they want to know God more, but they're always complaining about everything. You could never satisfy them. And they will not directly complain against God. They will not directly grumble against God. But from the things they complain against other people and the things they grumble about other people, it's indirectly against God, really. And they always repel the presence of God. They say they want to know God more, but they constantly do the things that God just does not like. Well, Abraham wasn't that way. We shouldn't be either. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay your vows unto the Most High. Pay your vows. Someone said, how do I minister to God? Offer thanksgiving. Pay your vows. The things that you vow to the Lord, you will do. Yeah, it's not, yeah, some of it is money, but it's not just money. You know, our New Year resolution, sometimes when we come before the Lord, oh, I'm going to do this year. Oh, this year I'm going to do this with the Lord. Oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. You know, minister to him by fulfilling your promises to him. Glory be to God. Minister to the Lord. My time is running here, but I'm going to try to squeeze in a few more things here before I close tonight, because I want to be able to move on to something else next week if I can. If I can, I don't know that we'll be able to get done, but let's see how far we can go in the next 10 minutes here. To minister, remember we're talking about knowing God more through cultivating habitual fellowship. Of course, one of the ways we cultivate habitual fellowship is ministering to the Lord and ministering around his word, like Samuel. We've talked about this a bit, but I want you to put your eyes on this scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And you know that's verse 1, but in verse 21, the Bible now tells us God revealed himself to Samuel. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Well, apparently, one of the ways Samuel was ministering to the Lord was through his word. Yes, for sure, he worshipped. Yes, he thanked God. Yes, he blessed the Lord. He rejoiced in God. But he also stayed around his word. You can know God by staying around his word. God reveals himself through his word. And one of the ways we cultivate habitual fellowship with God is by being around his word, listening to him, hearing him, paying attention to him, inclining our ears and our hearts to him, cultivating habitual fellowship. You remember in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 13, I believe, Paul and these other ministers also ministered to God, but in their case, it wasn't just with the word, it wasn't just with singing and worshiping, it was all of that. Plus, look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Amplified Bible says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, separate now unto me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I've called them. They took times just to fast and to spend time worshiping the Lord and to speak to him. You know, one of the things fasting does is it denies our flesh. Fasting subdues our flesh. Our flesh, for all of us, our bodies, our flesh is one of the most significant things in our lives. In fact, for many of us, unfortunately, our flesh is too significant. That is, it has too much room. It has too many liberties. Remember, one of the things we learned earlier is one of the key requirements to knowing God more is we must be willing to pull aside, lay aside the significant things of our lives. If that's our flesh, well, one of the ways we lay aside the flesh is fasting. Praise God, we don't have to fast every day, every week. But you know what? Periodically, every believer ought to take some time and fast something. Fast food or fast TV, media, fast whatever. Fast something that is a constant in our lives. So we can give that time to ministering to the Lord. Look at it. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit spoke. Somebody said, I thought we just did the Daniel fast. Yeah, awesome. Daniel fast is great. But Daniel fast is not the only time that we should fast as believers. That's corporate fasting, which is great. But you can take a day yourself periodically just to spend time with the Lord. You can take a day and just, you know, spend some time. Read and study or listen to a message and pray and worship and sing, play some music and just appreciate the Lord. And that's ministering to the Lord. And when we do that, something from His heart rubs off on our heart and we know Him more. Knowing God more through habitual fellowship. Hallelujah. Oh, our time is almost gone here. But let's look at two more scriptures. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. This is a very familiar piece of scripture. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. Acts chapter 10 from verse 1. Hallelujah. Knowing God more through cultivating habitual fellowship with Him. Acts chapter 10 from verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your almsgiving are come up for a memorial before God. The Amplified says, Your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. Do you know, and of course you know what happened to Cornelius and his entire family? It was the first Gentile home that the Holy Spirit visited and took over. So the Lord revealed himself to Cornelius and his entire household. But look at what the Lord said. Your prayers. And the man said he was fasting, didn't he? A devout man and one that prayed to God always. He didn't say he was fasting here. But the Bible says your prayers and your almsgiving, your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice. Do you know one of the ways we minister to the Lord is by giving to the poor? I bet you may not have known that. One of the ways we minister to the Lord is by giving to those who lack. Why is that? Because when we give to them, we're indirectly giving to Him. When we give to the poor, when we give to those who lack, we are indirectly giving to the Lord. And every one of us has the wherewithal to minister to the Lord in this way. Because there is no gift that is too little. I can tell you, let me bring this to a close. We are almost done here. I can tell you, one of my most inspiring activities, one of my most inspiring spiritual activities and ministries is giving. I found out there is such a mighty presence of God every time I give. Every time I give, I almost feel a pull of the Lord drawing me to Himself. Why? Because He is a giver. When you give, and when you give, when your heart is in it, remember what we read, where we talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 9, not sure if that's verse 6, where see, God loves, in the King James, it says He loves a cheerful giver, but in the Amplified, it says He loves a prompt to do it giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I think it is. And I'm not sure if it's verse 6. Let's look for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 7. He says, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and proposed in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, He takes pleasure in, He prizes above other things, and He is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in His giving. Yeah, we're talking about knowing God more. And somebody says, what does that have to do with giving? Everything. You just saw that. You just read that. God is unwilling to abandon. He's unwilling to do without that man, that woman, who is a prompt to do a giver, whose heart is in His giving. I write this down. I gotta close. Listen, write this down. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just going to say it to you. Any believer who is not excited about giving and who does not practice giving, like we just read, cheerfully, prompt to do it, regularly, they are limited in how much they can know the Lord. Don't get mad at me now. They are limited. That, whatever it is, money or whatever that significant thing is, becomes an obstacle to you knowing the Lord more. So know God through ministering to Him. Our time is up. Oh my gosh, our time is up. Thank you, Father. Let's bless His name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Your mighty presence. We give You the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.